Seats, praise the Lord. Thank you, worship team. Don't go far. Praise the Lord. It's good to see everyone. A second morning service Sunday. Praise God. How many of you are blessed? Are you just saying that? Are you blessed because you're blessed, or are you blessed just because you're religious? Are you blessed because Jesus found you where you were at? Are you blessed because someone told you that there was a man called Jesus that could do what no one else could do? Are you blessed because you was messed up? Now someone came and touched your life and found you and spoke words of love into your life and put you amongst the people that there is no way on this earth you would ever have it with in any other place or in any other occasion, except if you was all in hospital together. Come on now. Or in a police station together. But how many of you know he put us all in one church? People from different backgrounds, tribes, tongues. People from different histories, but we're all here together because of one man, one person, one God. Amen. And that's amazing. That is a tremendous miracle. Can someone say amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And we're coming on through this series that we've been looking at. We started off the start of the month, and we were looking at first things first. Everyone say first things first. And we were looking at godly priorities and getting our priorities right. Because if you start off with God, you're going to end up with God. Amen. Let's hope so. Hallelujah. You start the right race, then you're going to finish the right race. And we looked at priorities, getting first things first, putting God in his place and getting things in order. And then we began to look at what comes next. When you get first things first and you start off right, how there's a process of progress. And how we all want to change and we all want to grow as disciples and followers and learners and friends and family of Jesus Christ. Is there anyone that wants to grow in the things of God? Let me see your hands. Come on, wave your hands in the air. It's participation time. Hallelujah. We're in church. We can get involved. And he wants us to progress, and that there are certain steps that we take. And we looked at the illustration of a car, and how a car goes through gears, and we started on the message changing gears, and we started looking that there were several gears that we go through. And the last couple of weeks we went through the gears, and some of the gears that we looked at were from the early church, because we want this to be a church that anyone can come to and find somebody to connect with. We want this to be an accepting church. We want it to be a church where anyone can come just as you are, but then lovingly you're going to be challenged to become what God wants you to be. And we believe that people can come, and we want it to be the way that it was in the early days, the first days of the church. We don't want it just to be a place that you come and you look good. And I must admit that this is a good looking church. Amen. Turn around, look at someone, and please let it be of the same sex. Hallelujah, right now. Because I know you. And I know you. Just put it up in the air. You're looking good. Turn around, give someone a quick glance, say, you're looking good. It's all right. This is a fantastic looking church, but that's not what it's just all about. This is not a church where you just come looking good in your Sunday best or your finery. Amen. This is not just a place that you come and you just connect with other people, maybe of the same place that you're from or with the same interests as you. It's not a club. This is a place that we want to come and we want to grow so that we become everything that God created us to be. Am I in the right place right now? Am I hitting the right spot right now? We want this to be a place that God is glorified and God is honored, and that the people that come are filled with him so much that it just leaks out, pours out, flows out wherever it is that we go. You get so filled with the presence of God that everywhere you go, you just leak Jesus. How many of you would love that? How many of you just like to be able to walk into Asda or Sainsbury's or Tesco's or wherever it is that you go, or Teco if you live down in Salford, amen, or wherever it is that you go, and you just walk in, and all of a sudden, there's so much Jesus in you that it starts leaking out, and someone just starts weeping under the power in the presence of God, and they're looking around for what is happening here, and all they see is you. But that's enough, because Jesus is in you. That's what we want. And to do that, we want to find out what it was, because that's what they did in the book of Acts. You'll notice that the first book after the Gospels is not called the Book of Accidents. Come on now, have you ever noticed that? And many Christians live their lives by accident. It's like you're just living your life by accident. What? You want to know about Jesus? It's like you want to fall over. If someone says, are you a Christian? Can you tell me about the Lord? You're like, what? You really want to know? Can I pray for you? Yes. What? Oh my goodness, I need to go away and pray about this now. Hold up. Sometimes we live by accident, but I mean, you know, God's intentional, and he has a plan for our lives, and there is a works that he has prepared beforehand that we should walk in, and he wants us to progress into that. And we want to look at what it was that they had in the first church that made them so awesome and did so many tremendous things. They turned the world upside down. How many of you want to turn the world upside down? Come on now, you turned the world upside down, but you did it for the wrong master. Hello. You made a splash in your life, but you did it for the dark one. But now it's time to do it for Jesus. And so we've been looking at that, and we've been looking in the book of Acts chapter 2, and I'd like you to turn there now. And we were looking at the process and different gears, and we started off with number one, prayer, God's word, and real connection, because that's how you need to start off. Start as you mean to go on, with prayer, with God's word, and real connection. And then the last couple of weeks we looked at miracles, signs, and wonders. What are they? You know, what do we need to be looking at? Are they still in operation today? Who performs these miracles, signs, and wonders? Is it something that we can actually expect today? And we looked at that over the last couple of weeks, and then last week I believe that God started to show us some miracles, signs, and wonders. Amen. How many of you were blessed last week? You got touched. Who got a touch from God last week apart from me? Hallelujah. Apart from the person who had the really bad shoulder that had dislocated it four times, twice in one day, had a broken rotator cuff and couldn't do that. Some of you are looking at me like, what's he doing? I'm doing that. And before God did that miracle in my life, I couldn't do that. I was doing it the other day, and someone comes to me and went, oh, when you did that, I was hoping it weren't going to pop out, because that would have been so embarrassing. Would have been painful too, man. Amen. But I mean, if you know that, I believe, and we said this and we looked at it, that God is still doing miracles, signs, and wonders, and they point to him, and they are for his glory, because when he can do something like that, it means that there is hope for all of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we looked at that, miracles, signs, and wonders. And today we're going to be looking at something else. And, you know, some people are probably coming expecting me to stand up here, to have grown a big white beard, and to be standing here looking all chilled out in a pair of skinny jeans, going, yeah, man, it's cool. I believe God wants to do this. Is there anyone in here that needs this? And because that's what happened last week. But we don't try and manufacture what God does. If he's going to do it, he's going to do it. Amen. And if he ain't doing it, then he wants us to do what he's told us to do already. And so we're going to continue on with this series. And if God wants to do something today, he's going to let us know. Oh, come on now. I mean, if you've come praying and hoping that God's going to touch you, speak to you. Anyone? I mean, if you need a word from the Lord today. I mean, if you need a touch from heaven today. Come on now. I mean, if you need a specific thing. Then don't pray general prayers or just come accidentally. Come intentionally and pray. And when you get the opportunity, say, God, Lord, I really need this. And then see what happens. But we're going to be looking at today unity and generosity. And we're going to be reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 41 through 47. And the Bible says this, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. That was week one. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. That was the last couple of weeks. Now we're into today. Now all who believed were together. Say together. Together. Say together. And had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. Today we're going to look at unity and generosity. These are two huge characteristics of God and God's people, godly people. Amen. They exhibit these characteristics of God: unity and generosity. And unity is this. Unity is the state of being united or joined as a whole. And it is the opposite of divided. It has a united vision, not a divided vision. Now you have to understand that in Christianity, no one, if you're honest, you have a look at the state of Christianity today in this world, and you could quite easily say that it is divided. Am I right? You got Catholics, you got Protestants, you got Calvinists, you got Arminians, you got Universals, you got Liberals, you got Fundamentalists, you got Baptists, Pentecostals, Baptocostals, Methodists, Episcopalians, Presbyterians, and all sorts of other stuff. Amen? And some of you are like, well, I don't even know what that is. It's divided. And what happens is, sometimes churches can be the same. And people come into a church and they have an idea of what it meant, what it's meant to look like and what it's meant to do. But every single church, I believe, God has a vision. God has a plan. God places people in certain places and places churches in certain places. And we have to understand and know, what is my church about? What is the vision of my church? What gives my church that I attend the right to even open its doors and ask people to come and worship in it? Because if there's no difference, then if there's nothing that it does that is unique, then I can just go anywhere at any time, any week. And that's what happens. You see people church hopping, spiritual hitchhikers. Come on now. And it's okay when you're searching for a place to call home. It's okay when you're searching for a place to find a route that you will go and have a look at a few places. If you've not, me, I've been in two churches in my life in 19 years. And for 18 years, 18 and a half years, it's been Victory Outreach. And the other time, I got saved on the street. I went to an Assemblies of God church in East London where I got baptized. Then I went straight into the home. And I've been in Victory Outreach ever since. And I've been planted and potted and rooted. Hallelujah. And this is where I've flourished. But for some people, they've checked it out and they've looked about. And some people, that's cool. But the spiritual hitchhiker thing, you know what a hitchhiker does? A hitchhiker wants to get to a destination, and so he stands by the side of the road with his thumb out, and he goes like this, and then someone pulls up, and from the goodness of their heart, they let him in, and a hitchhiker gets in, and then they take the hitchhiker where they want to go, and then when they get there, the hitchhiker jumps out, says thanks, and walks away. And the fact is, probably they complain about the journey. The heating's not on. Can you put the heating on? Can you wind the window down? Can you drive faster? Can you drive slower? Mind that bump. Watch that conversation. Can I put my music on? Whatever it is that they want to do. And then they get out at the end of it, not giving you any money for any petrol. Oh. Having just moaned for the whole journey. Oh. Hold on, let me do the spiritual thing. Oh. Amen. And that's what spiritual hitchhikers are like in church. They come, they want to get to a certain place, and they'll get in and they'll go with you just as long as it is that you're actually blessing them and benefiting them, and then they'll leave without depositing anything. They haven't paid the tax, they ain't paid the insurance, they ain't done anything for the maintenance of the vehicle. They've probably moaned about the seat, they've moaned about the heat, they've moaned about the music. Come on now. And then they've tried to get you to even buy yourself a new car. You know, the best, there's a better car than this. You know, I really like these cars. Have you ever thought about getting one of these cars? Well, no, I'm quite happy in this car, thank you. Listen, You want to get kicked out right now? And what happens is, when someone has a different vision, it causes division. And we need unity. The secret to unity begins with how we view ourselves within the body and how we view others. The key verse that addresses this in Philippians chapter 2 verse 3, Paul writes this to the Philippian church. He says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves." All disunity in a church can be traced back to the simple truth that too often we act selfishly and consider ourselves better than others. How many of you have ever considered yourself better than someone else? Come on now. You see someone else, you think, man, look at that picky looking hair. My goodness, look at the state of that person's face. Couldn't they buy some new shoes? Oh my goodness, she's wearing that? What was she thinking? And he was like this, and he was like that. Oh no, my goodness. And sometimes we do that. Sometimes you see someone pull up outside a church or outside a building in an old jalopy, and straight away you look at them. I've been to some places in the world, notably some places not here, and you meet someone and you say, "Hello, how you doing?" And they go, "Hi." Look you straight up and down. And they're checking you out on the service. "Hi, my name's Brad. What do you do?" You ever done that? You've been introduced to someone, they've asked you straight away what you do? Huh? Amen? Well, now I fling them. I just flop it right on them. I'm actually the director of an international organization. Yeah, in our organization, I actually oversee doctors, lawyers, dentists, professionals, students. We have many people that are in one of our universities that we patron. I moved on from being an international pharmaceutical salesman and sometimes you have to try and give yourself up, even in Christianity, man. You get around different pastors, we have pastors' meetings, and you know, generally, even pastors sometimes get involved in that. And you'll be sitting down with another minister, and they'll be talking, and they'll go, "So how many people come to your church? How many people you got?" I say, "You want the boasting answer, or you want the people that actually come?" You want the boasting one? Amen. Thousands. We got the biggest church in Manchester, just not everyone's turned up yet. And you get that. And it's horrible, huh? Because you feel devalued. You feel that it's something that, you know, puts you down, and it causes division. Because it's selfish and it's self-centered. And that is what division causes. But disunity comes from that. Paul goes on to further explain this in the following verse to that. He says, "Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." We can do that when we're secure. And when we're secure in our unique identity as children of God who have individual abilities and skills and gifts. You know, you are who you were meant to be. You know, you have got unique skills. You have got unique abilities. There are unique gifts that God gives to you. You don't have to be the same as everyone else. God has made you unique. Someone once said, "Be a voice, not an echo." Oh, come on now. Have something to say, not just parrot something that someone said. And you do that when you're secure in who you are and what you've got and what you can do and what you're about and what you've got to give. It's okay to be you. Turn around to someone and look them in the eyes right now and say, "It's okay to be me. It's all right. It's all right to be me." Now look that person back in the eyes and say, "But it's okay to be you too." And now say, "I don't want to be me. I don't want to be you. I want to be me. But I want to be the best me that I can be." I want you to be the best you that you can be. Some of you missed it after the second sentence. You was like, I want to be the best me that I can be. And immediately, you was off somewhere, man. You was thanking your agent. I don't really deserve this award, but I want to thank my agent, my mum, my primary school teacher, my lecturer. You was off on one, man. See how easy it is. But God wants us to be unique. He wants us to understand that we are unique in Him. And that when you are secure in that unique identity, you can then use those things to help and bless. And when you do that, you become a link in a chain. You might not be the whole chain, but you are a really powerful, really necessary link in a chain. And the thing is that without you, that chain could be broken. Without your unique skills, talents, gifts, abilities, that chain might not have the ability that it should have to do what it is that it was intended to do. And that makes sense, but what does that look like? Sometimes it's good to visualize stuff. I'm quite a visual person, and I like visualizing concepts. You know, a concept to me is like a thing that flutters around my head. I have to grab a hold of it and get a little bit of a look around it. That's just the way that I am. So I remember once that I was on this whole unity thing, and we're a church that believes in working with other ministries and organizations of like mind to see God's will done and His plan unfold within this city and this nation and this generation. And so we will work with people that are allies. And God showed me once, don't just make acquaintances, make allies. Get around people that can be who you're not and can do what you can't, so that together everyone achieves more. And I remember looking at all this, and God showed me this picture of an orchestra. And in that orchestra, you see people that are uniquely gifted and talented to be the best that they can be. I mean, the trombonist is like, he's the best trombonist in the world, man. You know, he's got that thing, and that thing just talks. You just feel it down deep in your soul. Then you've got the violinist, and the violinist makes that thing weep. And you hear that violin and you just feel like crying straight away. They're so gifted and so talented and so skilled. And your gifts are what you're given. Your abilities are what you're born with. Your skills are what you learn. Different things. And all of these things play a part. And you see all of these different instruments. And they're all there. And each one of them individually can perform wonderfully. But there's something beautiful about when they all come together and they play together. That's unity. There's a massive difference between being unique and being united. And too often, people keep the two things apart. But you can have the two things together. You can be unique and united. The big fear that many people have that stops unity from taking place is that if they join in with something that is bigger than themselves, then they're going to lose their identity or their individuality or their importance. Because you just meld into this oneness. But that's not true. If that was the case, why would Jesus have prayed that we would be in unity with one another? In his great high priestly prayer, John chapter 17, verse 11, he prays first for his disciples, the 12, his apostles, the ones that followed him there on the earth. And this is what he says. He's about ready to go and face the cross. And he makes this prayer. He prays this prayer. He says, now I am departing from the world. They are staying in this world. But I am coming to you. Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now protect them by the power of your name, so that they will be united just as we are. And then in John 17, verse 20 and 21, he prays for all believers that are going to come. So that one was for them, and there's a context in that. And how many of you know, when you read in the Word of God, context is king. Amen. What did they say? What did they mean? What did they mean to say? What do they mean to me right now? That's how you look at the Word of God and you study the Word of God. So that was for them. But then he goes on to pray a prayer that affects us. This is something we can take. We can take it to heart. We can take it to ourselves. This is for us. This is for you. It's for me. He says this. He says, I am praying not only for these disciples, the 12, the apostles. but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. The truth is that true unity in Christ becomes very apparent and very powerful when everyone not only becomes the best that they can be, but also when they work together to create a wonderful and more complete picture where everyone excels and all understand that together everyone achieves more. I was watching the TV once with my children, and I was watching it on a nice, you know, TV, and I looked at it and I think Mickey Mouse was playing or something. Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, come inside, there's fun inside, and all that stuff. When you got young kids, you learn all the words to all the songs. You have to stay sane. You see them every day. Peppa Pig was my friend for a while, and you know, then we grew up. Now it's Green Lantern, and you know what I mean, all stuff like that. Praise the Lord for Green Lantern, man. Let me tell you, Peppa Pig done my head in. I was watching it, and you see these things taking place, but then I had to get up close to it. And when you get up close to it, you see all these little things. They're called pixels, right? You know what I'm talking about. And you might, if you had an old TV, there was probably like 5. You know, big blurry thing, you know what I mean? You have a new one. My mum and dad have got a 50, 60-inch 3D smart TV, you know what I mean? I've just been down there, and I watched a movie on it. They're retired now. They can, you know, they've got disposable income. They can do what they want. Praise the Lord. So I go down there, and then I can do what I want with the stuff that they've disposed their income on. So I was watching this thing. Man, it was so clear. I was like, that's real. I wanted to touch the screen, you know what I mean? Get inside. Chased by dinosaurs and But I got up close and there was the pixels. And all these little pixels had different little colours. And the Lord spoke to me. And I got an understanding of what it truly meant to be in unity but stay unique. And I understood that I might just be a little pixel, but I'm actually a part of a big picture. And if my little pixel weren't in that place, then Mickey Mouse's ear looks weird. And it might be that Mickey Mouse's ear would look weird without me. Amen. I might just be a little pixel in Mickey Mouse's ear, but my goodness, his ear don't look as good until I'm in there. If I ain't in there, Mickey Mouse is looking Mickey Mouse. He's looking more Mickey Mouse than he needs to look. And I say all that to say this, that when you understand that when we work together, we can still be unique. You can still be the best that you can be. And God wants you to be the best you that you can be. He don't want you to be an echo of someone else, a facsimile of something else. He wants you to be you. And he wants you to exhibit your talents and your gifts and your skills and your abilities. I've learned this, and I'm learning this over 19 years of Christianity, that when I first got saved, I came from that background of darkness, and I came in and I saw Christianity and I saw, you know, greatness, and you know, it's not just about lifestyle. Christianity is not just about lifestyle. It's not just about living good. It's not just about living better. Amen. It's about who's living in you. That's what makes you a Christian. Otherwise, you could be a moral atheist. Come on now. There's some atheists live better than some of us. Or you. Some of you. It's about who lives in you. Amen. So it's not just about lifestyle. But as I was growing up and I desired to be involved in God 100%. Because how many of you know I was 100% out there on the road? I went a part-time junkie. You know, I didn't just take weekends off. I'm going to take weekends off now for my heroin addiction. You know what I mean? I'd like to go out and be normal for a few days. It didn't work like that. I was 100% out there in the black, in the madness, in the darkness. I worked for the dark side of the force. I was a Sith. So when I got saved, and became a Jedi, so to speak, for those of you that are still watching children's cartoons. The Clone Wars are on now. All of a sudden, I wanted to be the best I could be for Jesus. Is there anyone who's like that in the house? Is there anyone who's with me in the house right now? You want to be the best you can for Jesus. But I was under this funny misconception that I had to become complete and whole. In other words, not complete in Christ, but I had to be able to do everything well. Are you with me? Everything I do. Now, there's a big difference between doing everything you do as unto the Lord and doing everything you do as if you're the Lord. And there's a big thing in Christianity where everyone wants to be Jesus. Yeah, we want to become like Jesus, but let's have it right. You're not walking about as the Son of God and the Son of Man all in one body at the same time, doing the things that he did in the same way. We're human. And the thing is, he has made us unique because he loves us uniquely. And I went from trying to do everything. You know, I tried to, all I became was a spiritual juggler. I was juggling everything. You know what I mean? Trying to do it all at the same time. It's like a one-man band. You know what I mean? I was like trying to be a one-man orchestra. And then I started to realize that God didn't want that. And now I'm coming to the understanding as a senior pastor of this church, you know, regional pastor, etc. I'm not meant to do everything. I'm meant to do what it is I'm called to do, and I'm crafted to do, and equipped to do, and gifted to do the best I can do. And then what I'm meant to do is I'm meant to find other people that can do what I can't do better than me, and I'm then meant to bring them alongside and help them and work in teamwork with them and work together with them so that there is a team, because teamwork makes the dream work, and together everyone achieves more, and they can do what I can't, so I can concentrate on doing what I can do, and whenever I can, I'm going to help them be the best they can be as well, and then everyone is going to benefit, and the big picture starts getting seen. And I started to see that. And I started to employ that in my life. I am going to educate my strengths and staff my weakness. And we started to do that in the church. And I've started to do that as a person. I can't do everything. But what I'm called to do, what I'm supposed to do, I need to do that the best. And then what you're called to do and what you're supposed to do, you're meant to do that the best. And when we understand that, and we're secure enough. Come on now. Pastor Anthony's come into this church. He's like, you know, amazing at worship and, you know, pastoring and connecting and all that. And I'm good at none of those things. Really? You know what I mean? That was what's called a scary silence. That was an honest silence right there. But you know what I'm good at? I'm good at envisioning and leading and changing and challenging and transforming and getting you to become more than you were and getting you to be the best you that you can be. That's my gift. So we work together. Pastor Kevin is amazing at the finances. And that's God, because he never even finished school. Etc., etc. Amen. But when we're just doing our own thing without the other thing of helping other people, it just becomes disunified, discordant, and mangled. I'm going to demonstrate. Hallelujah. I want the worship team to come up. Amen. And we're going to demonstrate this concept to you so that you can understand it a little bit better. We've got our worship team coming up. Aren't they amazing? Hallelujah. Color coordinated. Looking great. We had Curtis and Shegan. Amen. Earlier on, competing to who could dance and sweat the most. Who could pull off the funkiest move on stage. Amen. Because it was both there. Shegan was getting down with some of his R&B moves. Curtis. Getting down too. But what we have here is a tremendous Worship team. I believe one of the best in Victory Outreach. Amen. Not professional musicians. We have Archie on the keyboard. The unique, one and only Jason Archie Champong right there. Amen. He's our model. He's a unique man. Amen. Everyone wants to be like him. Praise the Lord. Everyone wants to dress like him. In fact, you go down the high street, and any time he goes down the high street and walks past the store, you know that within an hour they're going to change the display in the store so that they look like him. That's what we're busting right now. And he taught himself the keyboards, and he's been learning. And then we have Damien, amen, on the guitar. Hallelujah. Brother D, righteous. You know, he used to be a rapper. You know, he came to Victory Outreach because he saw us on the streets once, and he came and we dragged him into a street rally, and he started rapping in the street rally, and he's been with us ever since. Amen. And then he started to teach himself to play the guitar. And he started off with one of them old, you know, proper things that you'd make yourself, like out of a shoebox and a bits of string. You know, like 20 quid or something. Ching, ching, ching. Now he's got some state-of-the-art looking, you know what I mean? God in guitar. Amen. He needs God in the guitar. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But he's tremendous. And then we got Brother Emmanuel there on the bass. Emmanuel's so cool. He just hangs back. He just plays it smooth. He just stays behind. You know what I mean? He just does his thing. But you feel him. You feel it. When he gets down. Then over there on the drums. Today, we have Bradley's on drums. Amen. He's behind his screen. The screen's there because he's like an animal on them drums. So stop people feeding him and stuff, you know what I mean, while he's doing it. And then we have a new addition today, Shagun. Shagun can sing and he can dance at the same time. Hallelujah. We hate him really inside because he's so good. Amen. He can really get down. He can really sing. And he's looking the part as well. Hallelujah. With the little bow tie and thing. You know what I mean? And then we have Curtis. What can we say about Curtis? Praise the Lord. Curtis, his presence on the stage is just, you know, it's amazing. The strength of him, the way that he sings, the way he worships, the command that he brings. Amen. Hallelujah. And he's tall and strong. And he's married to Abby. And Sister Abinah, I remember when she first came to the church, and she was like a spy. She was like 00 heaven, man. She just used to sit at the back, check everything out. Amen. She'd watch and she'd get up, she'd leave. She wouldn't say nothing. She was one of them. It's like, man, I hope she either gets saved or gets saved. Hurry up and get her saved, Lord. She's driving everyone mental up the back there. It's like having, you know, it's like having your accountant or something at the back. And now, man, she was a student at the time. Now she's just tremendous in everything she does. She's leading worship. My goodness, she wouldn't even sing when she first came to the church, but now she's leading worship. Then we have Susanna. Another addition to the worship team. And Susanna's got a voice. She can sing. And she's gifted and talented and multi-gifted and multi-talented and all sorts of stuff. She can make a spreadsheet sound good. Praise the Lord. And then order we're from Birmingham. We have Miss Is Grace in it, Alicia. And she's amazing. She would grace any worship team anywhere. And then, last but not least, we have the incomparable, anointed, amazing Ejiro Malcolm. Give it up for Ejiro. And you're probably wondering why I've given them such a big write-up. Because I want to show you something. Every single one of them is uniquely gifted and talented and different. Any one of them could lead us into the presence of God in and of themselves. They could do it. They know the dynamics. They have the gifting, the talent. They've learned the skills. God has used them and is using them. And individually, they're amazing. But what if they just did everything they did to themselves? What if they just wanted to do things selfishly for themselves? That they wanted to bless themselves. They wanted to be in the spotlight for themselves. They wanted to increase their own capacity. They wanted to do it for themselves. What would it sound like? So I'm going to do an experiment. And we did it in the first service and took them by surprise. And we're going to do it today. Do it right now in the second service. And they're a little bit more prepared. Or are they? I want every single one of them to sing their own song or play their own song, but not the same song. So on the count of three, they've all been thinking about this one. On the count of three, this is what this unity sounds like to God. Are you ready? One, I'm going to get out of the way because it sounds terrible. Two, you ready? Three. My goodness. Now watch this. Watch this. Right? There were some parts of that that actually sounded like they fitted. Scarily, some of you, some of the younger ones, you were like, man, that sounds good. I've heard that in a club. You know what I mean? Yeah, man, I got down to that before. In fact, last night, no. Right? What they were doing, they were each individually doing their own thing at their own pace, in their own time. And the thing was, sometimes it sounded right, but after a while, didn't it jar you? Didn't it bug you? Didn't it get on your nerves? Sometimes in church, and we spoke about this earlier, we realized sometimes even discord can look right. It can sound right. It can seem right. If you're only just meeting up with each other for an hour on a Sunday, even discord you can get on with it for a while. But when you're living it out, walking it out, day in, day out, as a living thing, then after a while you can't stand for discord. And the thing with God is, he don't just see you for an hour on a Sunday. He don't just come into your life for 1 hour once a week. He is there every single second and minute of every single day. He sees everything that we do as his people, as part of his body. And after a while, discord, disunity, selfishness becomes like that to God. But when we're together and we're playing uniquely, but the same song at the same time from the same song sheet with the same viewpoint, following the same conductor, man, it's beautiful. And that unity naturally gives birth to generosity. What is generosity? Generosity is a quality That's a lot like unselfishness. Someone showing generosity is happy to give or share time, money, food, or whatever with others. Generosity is a quality like honesty and patience that, I don't know about you, but it's something that I wish I had more of. And the thing is that when you show generosity, you might give away things or money or put others before yourself, but it's more than that. Generosity is more than just cash and more than just stuff. You can be forgiving. You can be gentle. You can be encouraging. That's generosity of spirit. If you give others help, you give them aid, especially when you're not necessarily in that spot, in that place yourself, that shows generosity. It's a quality of God. I read something about the science of generosity. I'm going to read out what it said on this website about the science of generosity. It says this, and I quote, "So generosity is a learned character trait that involves both attitude and action, entailing as a virtue both an inclination or predilection to give liberally and an actual practice of giving liberally." It's not just about the inclination, it's about the action as well. "Generosity is therefore not a random idea or haphazard behavior, but rather in its mature form, a basic personal moral orientation to life. Furthermore, in a world of moral contrasts, generosity entails not only the moral good expressed, but also, watch this, many vices rejected." It's not just what you do, it also speaks about what you don't do. Selfishness, greed, stinginess, fear, meanness. Generosity also involves giving to others not simply anything in abundance, but rather giving those things that are good for others. Because how many of you know, it's about motivation as well. Sometimes you can give, people give because they want to look good. They want the applause, they want the plaudit, they want the credit. And so sometimes they'll go out of their way to give, but they'll be seen to be doing it. Jesus said, "You've had your reward." Sometimes we don't do it to be seen. We do it so that we feel better. I mean, have you ever given something to someone else because it makes you feel warm and fuzzy inside? Come on now. Well, how did you like that? Yeah, I gave something to someone. Ooh, I feel good now. I feel like I've ticked a box. I feel warm and fuzzy. I don't feel so bad. And even that motivation is not pure. But the motivation of giving to someone something that they need. It's like going to someone begging on the streets with no shoes and giving them a pound. Give them your shoes. Do you see what I mean? That's generosity. The other's just charity. And sometimes the two are not the same. Generosity always intends to enhance the true well-being of those to whom it gives. What exactly generosity gives can be various things: money, possessions, time, attention, aid, encouragement, emotional availability, and more. And the world would certainly be a better place, I think, if there was more generosity. And the thing is this: when we're secure enough in our identity in Christ, that we can be the best that we can be, but also allow others to be the best that they can be. And that comes from being secure in who you are. That you're so secure in who you are that you don't mind if someone else is better than you at doing something else. This creates an amazing atmosphere. This wonderful experience where everyone is important in their own way and in their own right, but sees others as being equally important, it changes mindsets. In that atmosphere where there is this unity of purpose and of personhood that gives birth to this spirit of generosity, this atmosphere then, in this atmosphere, giving becomes less a sacrifice and more an investment. It's not something that you're losing, it's something that you're investing, it's something that you're sowing, it's something that even though someone said, even though it leaves your hand, it will never leave your life. Because if it's eternal, if it's done for the right reason, it's going to be eternal and you're going to see that person again. in the way that they was always intended to be. You realize three things in this, and I want you to stand with me right now. In this atmosphere, with this mindset of unity that gives birth to this spiritual generosity, you realize three things, and I want you to say these things with me. Speak them out so that you hear it yourself. Three things that you realize. Number one, say this after me. I am valuable as I am. My gifts and abilities and skills are unique. Number two, say it after me. I am needed. Without me, the whole is incomplete. It can work without me, but it will be so much better with me. Then number three, I become so much more when I invest in something bigger than myself. And when we have that attitude and this atmosphere is created and is being developed, what happens spiritually is that it creates a song that God listens out for from heaven. It's something that he searches for, and it's something that he will bless. Psalm 133 is there in the scriptures that speaks of this. It's a song of ascents. It's where they used to, it's what the pilgrims used to sing when they would go up to Jerusalem on one of the feast days. When I was in Israel, we used to sing it. It's sung with the Messianic Jews that we used to worship with. Behold how good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. In this translation, it says it like this. How wonderful and how pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. In other words, every single part gets blessed. From the top to the bottom. Every single person, every individual, unique as they are, when they're in harmony, everyone receives that anointing. And it's refreshing to God and to the people that live by it. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, and this is his blessing. The biggest, greatest, most wonderful, amazing blessing that you could ever know or have. Life everlasting. Lift up your hands and close your eyes. What you heard earlier was discord. That's the plan of the enemy. To have everyone so focused on themselves that they forget about the people that are around them. They're so focused on singing their own song, singing their own tune, doing their own thing, that they don't even hear when someone else is coming in or trying to speak or trying to sing or whatever it is that they're trying to do. And that causes discord, and that's why there is disunity, and that's why there is a breakdown in the blessing path of God. And that's why people are not saved or unbelievers, because they don't see the church being unified. So why should they bother getting involved? But listen, brothers and sisters, because that's what we are. When we come together and we understand that you are created for a reason, for a purpose, for works that God has prepared before and that you should walk in, and that he wants you to be prepared and go through the process and progress in becoming a follower of Jesus, a disciple. And you begin to do what it is he's called you to do and be who it is that he's called you to be. And you look around to try and help others become what it is that they can be. You become a link in a chain that is everlasting and is circular. And you begin something in that unity that gives birth to generosity. That generosity begins a cycle of blessing that one day will come back and it will reach back to you. And the power of God begins to flow and is unbroken. And we begin to see everyone having no need. Because as you give, they receive. And then as they receive, they give. And then they pour that on and pour that out to someone else. And until eventually you're wondering, when's mine coming? And someone taps you on the shoulder and say, I just want to bless you. And you just lift up your hands and you lift up your eyes and you lift up your voice and you just begin to praise the one who is complete, who is whole, who is himself without division, the great unity himself, God in heaven. And the world begins to see that there is a God, and this church, it really means something. This is the place that I want to be. These are the people that I want to be with. This is something I want to pour myself into. I want to make an oracle right now for anyone that has been struggling with trust. Number one, with trust. And then number two, if you've been struggling in your identity, who am I is the big question on your lips. What am I here for? You have a birthday, you know when you were born. But listen, when you get born again, God wants to show you why. As the worship team sing together, all of these beautiful people singing one song together at the same time, there's going to be a beautiful harmony. There is going to be a blessing and an anointing that's poured out. And it might be that today God shows you something that he has longed to show you. He's wanted to show you. He's wanted to pour into your life for so long. You come right out, right now. Let's join together and let's worship. Come on, come out of your place. Come, let's make a beautiful orchestra, a choir of grace. Sing that song, pray that prayer. Believe that thing, dream that thing. Cry out. Worship God together. Come on, all over this place. Let God begin to show you, begin to touch you, begin to feel you. Come on, it's going to click into place one day. It might be that today is that day. Thank you. this. I really sense that God wants to do some stuff amongst us right now. Some of you, man, you've been struggling. You've been feeling like you just want to give up on the path that you are. You don't feel like you've been making headway. Not making it. Not making progress. Listen, there's a couple of things you need to do. First, maybe the people you've been journeying with, that you've been having it with, maybe you need to change that, get some different allies. Maybe they're not able to give you what it is that you need. Sometimes individuals, they're good for a season and then you have to move on and get a different perspective. Sometimes people can, they can be a cause of discord, division. It's always good to get around like-minded people that are going in the same direction. A man once called Antoine de Saint-Exupéry was talking about love. He said, love does not consist of two people gazing into each other's eyes as much as two people both looking together in the same direction.